Bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Who played that part in the live version?
Was who somebody? Did the voice?
Yeah,
somebody. Bill Murray.
He didn't.
Was it really?
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray used to sing pretty well, but he didn't sing very well in that.
Walk like a man.
Walk like a man. Howie Mandel played in a movie called Walk Like a Man back in the '80s.
Welcome to the Piney Pastors Podcast, the elders meeting after show where we hang out to discuss theology and issues relevant to covenant members at Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri. It's like a Bible study, covenant members gathering, elders hang out, and talk show all wrapped up into one. And it's all about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So grab another cup of coffee and let's get started.
So we've been talking about decision making in general, but let's apply it specifically to the idea of calling to maybe what some would call the ministry, a pastoral ministry.
Did you get the call?
Yeah. Or a call to missionary work, or a call to a specific role within the church.
Church vocation.
Whether, you know, in our context, that's leading a Piney family, or serving as a deacon, or teaching an equipped class, or any number of things, and even maybe even more into things that don't seem as spiritual. Did you feel called to sign up for helping to clean the building or
serving
like that?
Piney kid,
but yeah, just calling in the context of church ministry. How do you think that a lot of people think about that? How have you guys thought about calling as pastors, since we are pastors at and for
and of with
Piney Ridge Church? How have you guys thought about calling? Have you experienced calling?
I can tell you how I thought about it as a kid, because I was a kid in a Southern Baptist church, and that was always... it was always out there at invitation time. They wanted you to come down if you were feel called to the ministry. Mm-hmm. And so I would watch people, youth that were older than me, going down and say, yeah, I feel called to be a pastor. And so my perception of that was that there was some mystical event that happened in their lives that... and I never felt that, so I never went down the aisle and said, I feel called to be a minister or a pastor or a missionary or whatever. And but I my interpretation of that at that time in my life was that was some mystical event that happened in their lives, or they felt some, I don't know, heard angel voices. Oh, you know, but and
that's how sound like?
I think it is. That is. That's how they sound. And knew
called.
That they maybe they heard an audible voice or the still small voice. And that you asked where in Scripture people might get that still small voice that Elijah heard would be one place. That's what I thought was happening to these people. Yeah. And
it was super spiritual. Somehow.
It was really super spiritual. And I was so disappointed that it never happened to me.
And I'm afraid to tell you, Steve, but that all real pastors get a direct line straight to God, and they hear him that call.
No, you've been called
rats.
Not true. I think that I've used that language of being called or somebody called to this or that. I don't think it's super helpful. I don't think it's super biblical, actually, because as we said, I looked up. This morning, every time the word calling or called is used in the Bible, and only twice in the New Testament is it used of the kind of calling we mentioned earlier, Acts 13:2 and 16:10, where it's calling to a specific ministry. But both of those kind of callings were they were unique even for that time period. I mean, like that's only two times in all of New Testament where you see somebody being called, or hear that language of calling anyway. And so I don't think it was normative then, and I definitely don't think it's normative now. And it was an external kind of call, not just an emotional inward impression. So even the still small voice of Elijah was not internal, but external.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me throw this in here real quick.
Throw
and
it.
Then just keep your train of thought. This is from that book again that I mentioned earlier. Do you feel called by God? He does a survey of Old Testament and New Testament, kind of like you did last night when you couldn't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he did it at night when he couldn't sleep, but he wrote about it in this book. He says, in the evidence available through specific examples in the scriptures, the call of God is external to the person receiving it, an audible voice, a burning bush, a falling mantle, a vision, an angelic visitation. In other cases, the evidence is either missing or silent, but where we do have the biblical evidence, it is external to the person being called, and it is usually in the form of a command, not an invitation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think I don't think any of us would. I don't think scripture warrants us, gives us allowance to. And I don't think most of our people would say, well, what I'm looking for is that external call. I want something that is, I want a writing in the sky, and I'm expecting to have hear an audible voice from God or have a visit from an angel or whatever. But the emotional kind of subjective inner sense of things, that urging, is never used in scripture for a calling of God.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hate to disappoint you, Jason, but I received an external call.
You did?
To be a pastor. I did.
What was that external call, Steve?
That external call was...
Was it an angel?
No, that most decidedly not. It was...
Better than an angel?
No, you have to go down lower. It was a friend of mine named Jason Myers.
Mm. Oh, way lower. Okay.
Yes.
Who
told me that he felt like that was perhaps a position that I should be appointed to. And so that was the external call that I received, and it was, what's the word I'm looking for? It was the other pastors also, after having me go through training and evaluation and all of that, they concurred with that. But that was the only calling that I ever aware of, and I might say that I resisted that calling almost with every ounce of my being. I it took a long time for me to be convinced that was what I was being led providentially, and also led through by the Holy Spirit through other men and women, because I also included my wife in this ordeal. And
do you think that your like you're talking about your experience growing up and seeing people have responding to the call to ministry, and it seemed like a dramatic, maybe audible voice or whatever, do you think that created any of that hesitancy in you to
possibly? But I think more
not consciously,
more it was 1 Timothy 3 and Titus, where I was saying I don't know if I qualify. But it could be that created a little bit of that. And by the way, this is anecdotal, but the best of my memory, very few of those people actually ended up being what they said they felt called to be.
And there's a high percentage still today of men who enter into full-time vocational ministry, as they say, and many of them saying, I felt the call, I got the call when I was this place or that place or doing this thing or that thing, and they last 2 to 5 years, and then they're done. Which is not necessarily wrong or sinful. It could have been that in God's providential timing, God led them to this, again, from his sovereign decrees, not that he was saying, hey, this is what you have to be, because sometimes people, the idea here is that if you get a call from God, and again, that's interpreting often our inner sense or emotional desires or subjective experience, that it's for a lifetime. But
right.
There are some people who are pastors for a short time, and it doesn't mean that they were sinning during that time. They chose, they made a choice to be a pastor, and then they made a choice to not be a pastor. And it is not I think it is unhelpful and often unloving to speak to them as if God was more pleased with you when you were a pastor, and he was really displeased when you said you were no longer going to be a pastor, as though you couldn't love God in any other way.
Mm-hmm.
Because God called you to this, and you rejected that call. I don't think that's helpful. I don't think we can defend that from Scripture.
Well, yeah, exactly. I was going to say, I don't think it's biblically defensible. And to read from this book again, this is actually at the beginning. He kind of sums up the book and gives the conclusions right off the bat. He says that the often heard and almost universally accepted expression, "I feel God is calling me," is totally foreign to the revealed content of both the Old and New Testaments of the Bible. The continued use of this unscriptural pietistic language may be having negative consequences for churches, missionary societies, and other Christian organizations in the choosing and training of future leaders.
Mm-hmm.
He says, second, without denying in any way God's ability to call people into ministry by overt and supernatural signs, it is argued here that this is not usually God's method today. So he wrote this book out of his own experience of being in the ministry and being... In his context, he was interviewed by different church committees, and they would say, "When did you receive the call?"
Right.
And he had never received that dramatic call like you're talking about, Steve. And so he started searching Scripture and wrote this book kind of as a response to that. He goes on to say here, "The motivation to serve the Lord, particularly in what is termed full-time ministry, is a human desire to do so and not a felt call. However, this human desire, which must spring from one's love for Jesus and the gospel and genuine compassion for people, is not sufficient or valid in itself. It must be rightly motivated and rightly tested."
Yeah.
Amen.
And, when I think about my own quote-unquote call to ministry, when I was... I received a call as I was on the roof of a house working for my dad. I received a call from...
You mean a phone call?
A phone call. A phone call.
From God?
Yeah. No.
Oh.
From a guy who was on... They didn't call it. This was basically a search committee. And it was for a worship arts pastor position. But anyway, as I went through that process and sat down with the elders... that church, and they one of them asked me, "Do you feel called?" And I kind of stumbled around and stuttered and said, "Well, I in the ministry that I'm serving in currently, it's a college ministry," I said, "I do experience a sense of frustration that I don't have more time to pour into the people that I'm leading with and leading that." You know, geographically, I wasn't close to it. I just couldn't connect. And I said, I do have a desire to be able to shepherd mm-hmm. them more. And
and you had the ability
for them. That was sufficient. for a sense of call. But I never had a dramatic sense of this is what God is calling me to. I just kind of took the next step of here's an opportunity.
Yeah,
I have an ability to shepherd, and it started with the musical, shepherding through music, when I was in college, and there was a need in our church, and I said, I think I could fill this need. It was something that I wanted to do. I wanted to serve in that way, and then just took the next step as God kind of put the path before me. But there was never a dramatic and along the way, it was, yes, this is what I want to do. It was affirmed for me that God is using you in these ways. You're gifted to bless the church.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you guys a question then, because I have also not received an external call or even felt this dramatic
totally
moment.
Outing ourselves.
I know it. I had a realization. I do remember at the point I had a realization that this is what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And this is what I thought was a good path for my life moving forward. But I think that sometimes... let me just ask you, has being a pastor always been easy?
Yeah, no. Totally.
Has there ever been a moment of frustration?
Today? Yeah.
During this conversation? Sure.
Yes.
Okay. So what do you do then? Because I do think that there are sometimes that people and even pastors will think, if I don't have that sense of call,
mm-hmm.
then I'll be tempted to give up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you do with that then? If you don't have that to fall back on, where there was that, you know what, I can never fall lower than that one experience where I had the call, when you time gets tough, what do you do? How do you respond?
Well, I think that that you don't have that kind of experience, but I think you have just the concept that God did providentially lead you to this point in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He did. It's not that he might have. He did.
Right.
And God has providentially put me, so speaking for myself, God has providentially put me in this position of pastor, and I'm going to stay in it as long as, first of all, as long as the other elders in the church think that I should be.
That's right.
As long as I'm qualified to be, but also as long as I have energy to do it. I'm 64 years old, so who knows when that's going to be, when it mm-hmm. becomes too much for me. But
40, 50 years from now.
By God's grace, I love that verse. By God's grace, I am what I am. Mm-hmm. And that is absolute yeah. truth, because you guys have received training at Bible colleges. At you have degrees. I don't. I don't have those degrees. I don't have the training. We have members in our church. We have a number of members in our church with more training to be pastors, more experience as pastors than I have.
No, well, than Nathan or I too.
Yeah, and
as far as education, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, why am I in this role and they're not? Well, by the grace of God, I am. By the yeah. providential leading of God, I am what I am. And so that's what keeps me going. Mm-hmm. God's put me in this position. I believe that it's not invalidated by the fact that I didn't receive some kind of a mystical calling.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so although that is absent in my experience, I still believe that I am called, but no more called than I was as a teacher. I believe that teaching mm-hmm. was and is a calling in my life. For those of you who are listening and don't know me, I teach math. I've taught math for over 40 years, and I believe that God gifted me in that way, and I believe God gifted me in that way, and he put a desire within my heart to do it,
mm-hmm.
and therefore I believe I'm called to do that. So I didn't receive any kind of a mystical calling for teaching either.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's how God calls. God gifts certain people with talents and abilities and puts a desire within their heart. Mm-hmm. Paul says that to have the desire to be a pastor is a good thing.
Right.
And God put that desire in my heart. And praise God, I certainly don't claim to be a talented preacher or the best pastor, but what I have, I can for sure say what ability I have was given to me by God. And it's by his grace that I am able to serve as a pastor, and that keeps me going.
Yeah.
And I think what you pointed out, Steve, is helpful, because it it translates to every other area of ministry in the church and in life.
Mm-hmm.
Because every Christian, the word call or calling or being called, used most often in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, about in this spiritual sense, about being called to faith in Christ,
right. mm-hmm.
being called by the grace of God, it says in Galatians, being called to eternal life. You're being, that even talks about calling and election, almost being synonymous, like that in Romans 8, that you are called by not only the outward calling of the gospel preaching, but then you have the inward calling of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. who works in you to regenerate you and give you this, grant you faith and repentance. And we are all called to Christ as Christians. We're all mm-hmm. called to heaven one day. That's our calling. That's our home. We're also called to holiness and called to love and called to live by faith. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't matter mm-hmm. what you're doing, whether you're teaching in a university or at a high school, or whether you are working, whatever job it is, your calling is to live for the glory of God. Your calling is to live in holiness and yep. in love and yeah. with faith. And if you're doing that, that's a calling,
mm-hmm.
right? On God, by God on your life.
Or lest people think we're talking about only vocations or you're earning a living.
Mm-hmm.
Called to be a mother.
Called to be a mother. Mm-hmm. Called, even as I told this to my daughter not too long ago, said, your main job right now, your calling in this life at this moment is to be a daughter, a student, a sibling, a friend. Like God's saying, now at this moment, I want you to glorify me in these areas, in these ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in another sense, you could say that every Christian is called to ministry. Every Christian is called to ministry.
Yeah.
But not all called to the same specific functions in ministry. Mm-hmm. Such that
did you say that again, by the way? Every Christian is what?
Called to ministry.
Called to ministry.
Every member of Piney Ridge Church is called to ministry.
Where would you get that from in the Bible, Jason?
Well, the fact that Jesus, when he calls his disciples, he's calling to be fishers of men. And then the disciples have then called all other people to make disciples. And it says in 1 Timothy, Paul says that, Timothy, you're to teach others, who are to teach others, who are to teach others to do mm-hmm. this. I think the
maybe
fact...
Ephesians 4?
Ephesians 4.
That's where
4,
I was going.
That we have...
I was trying to type it into my computer.
Yes. Ephesians 4, that we have a call by God upon us as individual Christians to be a part of the body, to build the body up in love until we attain
and
to
so
the
unity. And so we as pastors are to equip the
saints for the work
for
of
the
ministry.
Work of ministry.
For the purpose of building up the body of Christ.
Amen.
So, yeah, it's interesting that we call what we do ministry, or it's, you know, it's...
I'm in the ministry.
Sorry,
I've been
right,
called to ministry,
right.
Yeah.
But, actually, in that passage... It's the church, and we are equipping the church to mm-hmm. do the work of ministry.
And let's just yeah. go on there oh, into verse okay. 13. Our calling to equip, we're to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So they're calling to ministry. Everyone's calling to ministry for the purpose of building mm-hmm. up the body of Christ. Lasts until, it says until,
mm-hmm.
we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood,
mm-hmm.
to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Mm-hmm. So there right. you go. When we all reach that place, we can retire from ministry.
And, yes, so that when even a pastor steps down from being a pastor, he doesn't step down
right.
from ministering.
No.
Right.
He's still
Amen.
Called to be a minister because he is mm-hmm. called as a Christian to do so. So the question then is, all right, well, if we're all called to ministry, what does it look like then to, why are there certain offices of deacon or elder mm-hmm. and so forth?
Right.
And you talked about it, Steve, saying 1 Timothy 3, he says, do you have this great desire for it,
mm-hmm.
this specific kind of ministry, this specific function within ministry, this specific role and responsibility in ministry? And then not only do you desire it, but as you were saying, I think reading earlier from Bennett, that is it a pure and holy motivation?
Right.
Not perfect, but is it as it should be? Are you just trying to, you know, as Peter says, we shouldn't be greedy for godly, ungodly gain.
Mm-hmm.
and then are you qualified by the other
right.
Standards that are the measuring, you know, rod that's put out there? And then is it affirmed by other Christians in
right.
the church and, and the other leaders of the church?
Right, and I think that that last one is, something about those who may have had some deep sense internally of a call to ministry, and they're mm-hmm. so dead set on it, and they spend so much money receiving theological education that they get into a pastoral position, and maybe it turns out that they can't teach. They're not actually blessing their congregation, maybe they're not actually qualified, but because they have felt such a sense, an inner sense of this is what I'm called to do, that they ignore these external
warnings
of calling and warning.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it often can lead to some pretty disastrous results.
It has, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in that, if somebody comes and says, I feel like God is calling me to be a pastor of Piney Ridge Church, and if the other pastors and leaders and deacons and members of Piney Ridge Church say, uh-uh.
And we'd say, first of all, because you use the language of calling, no, we're
yeah, but if that confirmation isn't there, then you have to go back and say, what they should do is and say, well, then I repent of using that language because I was saying that God has called
right.
me to something
right.
that he clearly
and
has
that
not.
I think is an important point that we are, when we say the Holy Spirit led me or God has called me to this, we're saying that's a pretty weighty statement, and it
Huge.
Gets thrown around a lot. if we're saying this, thus saith the Lord, it's we don't think of it probably in those prophetic kind of terms, mm-hmm. but it really is to say, well, the Holy Spirit led me to this. It's a pretty serious thing that we should not
and a lot
throw
of people
out there lightly.
Will Amen. Use the word feel to lighten it, which right. it does, and yet it still can come off as the same, having the same idea.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I feel like God is calling me. I feel like God has led me to this. And it, while it is better language because it's not so strict, I think right. the sense can still be often the same. And it's not to beat people up for using certain language as right. much as is the concept in your mind, is it biblical?
Right.
And
right.
is it helpful?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think to connect what you were saying a minute ago about the call to be a pastor, mm-hmm. And the need to look at the qualifications. It's interesting in 1 Timothy 3, what Paul starts out saying there is, if anyone desires to be an overseer, he desires a noble task, or aspires to be an overseer, he desires a noble task.
Mm-hmm.
So he talks about an aspiration and a desire. These are within that man, his own desires, his own wants. And it might sound, it does, I think, just because of the way that we're kind of trained to hear things. It sounds unspiritual to say, I want to be a pastor. Sorry, my computer's about to log out, and that would kill the recording. I think it would sound like, okay, that's prideful of me to say, I want
selfish.
To be a pastor. Yeah. But Paul says, no. You should aspire
right.
to
if
it.
If you don't want to, that's right. a problem. If you right. do, then you have to evaluate, why do you want
exactly.
to?
Exactly.
And
right.
that's harder.
Right.
Which is, if we just say, God is leading me to, or I feel led to, or I feel called mm-hmm. to, then you don't have to get evaluated that way.
Right.
And that, I think, is an escape that's not unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
We should be able to say to people, I, for instance, if somebody says, I don't want to, you know, clean the building.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to work in Piney Kids. Okay, well, why not?
Yeah, right.
And if we just say, I don't feel led to, well, then
right.
what do we say?
Okay.
Well, I guess I'll pray for you to be led. I what else do we say?
Yeah.
Because what I'm called by God to do is to love my wife like Christ loves the church,
mm-hmm.
even when I don't feel like it, right?
Yeah.
What I, if someone says, hey, like we go back to earlier, that person, this fictional character who's wanting to marry Tom, the unbeliever, and... let's just say Tom was a believer and she said, I feel like God is just telling me I have to marry him. Okay. Well, really what you mean is I want to marry him and I think it would be appropriate to do so. And I have all these other reasons that confirm that, I think. Okay, fine. But in 1 Corinthians 7, 39, I was reading Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology the other day, and he says about the sufficiency of Scripture is that, we don't need to go outside of Scripture to find some impression of some kind and to know God's will. And he said, and sometimes we need to understand that God cares more about how and why we do something than specifically what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1 Corinthians 7:39, he says, speaks of a widow and says, she's free to remarry only in the Lord. She means she must marry another Christian if she's going to marry.
Yeah.
But he says she's also free to remain single. And the implication is God would be pleased, just as pleased, either way.
Yeah.
God would be honored and glorified either way, and so you are free to make either decision. That's a big life decision, getting
yeah.
married.
Yes.
And he's saying that whether you get married is not the thing that honors God. It's who you marry, whether in the Lord or not,
mm-hmm.
and why.
Yeah.
Like, what are you seeking to do?
Mm-hmm.
Is marriage idle to you? Is or is it a way that you think, I think that this is a way that I can glorify God better? And so I think that's true with all decisions that we, not all decisions, but a lot of decisions that we have to make. It's not necessarily, is it right or wrong that I serve in this ministry or in that ministry? When someone is going to go to be a missionary to Indonesia or wherever,
mm-hmm.
it's not, did God call me, but does this make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do I want to? And if I don't, why not?
Mm-hmm.
And if I do, why?
Yeah.
And then, is it lawful? Is it beneficial? All those questions that Clint Ferguson talked about. Is this against Scripture? Is this loving? Is it beneficial to others? Does this fit who I am, how God has made me? So someone like you said, who said, I really want to be a pastor, but they do not have the ability to teach. Well, that's a qualification. So no, he's not.
You haven't been called.
Right.
Yeah. We can confidently say you have not been called.
Right. And so I think the same thing is true in a lot of areas. There are some areas of ministry and service, though, where we just don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we say, I'm not called, and so we don't do it.
Right.
Instead, we need to say, you know what? Maybe I should like it. Maybe that's a problem with my heart.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, and even, I mean, we use that kind of language. I'm including myself, that I've tried to do it less, and it feels awkward. Even in the context of prayer, like if you have a list of things to pray for with a group of people, say, if you feel led to pray, or if you feel led to pray for one of these things. And what we really should be saying is, if you want to pray, then pray.
Right.
But nobody wants to be the one who doesn't want to pray.
Right.
So it feels better. Well, no, I just wasn't feeling
like
led
it's a cop out,
to pray.
Right?
Yeah. And I think we would be better. But like that, what you were just saying, it requires then evaluation of, if I'm saying I don't want to pray right now, why is that?
Yeah. And it's not always wrong. It's not always wrong if you say, I don't want to be a pastor, I don't want to be a missionary, I don't want to serve in this area. It doesn't necessarily mean it's sinful.
Right.
You just have to evaluate why.
Yeah.
And that process, I don't think is meant to be easy.
Right.
I think it's meant to, so that we would actually search through and say, you know what, God, this was a hard work that I had to do to weigh my emotions, my motivations, my thoughts and desires, my values of things. And I've come out the other side better for it, even if my decision hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
Boy, my brain is fried.
No, I feel led to say nothing else.
Feel led to say, yeah. Well, I will just reiterate that we are not wanting to condemn anyone, or
Amen.
If they use the word calling around us to immediately
or
feel like they have to apologize. As we've said a few times, we do use that language some. We just want to be ourselves more thoughtful of the way that we are speaking about leading and calling, and we want to help you all, especially our church members, to be thinking and making decisions biblically, with counsel of Scripture, with counsel of the church, the fellowship of the believers, and we want to exhort and encourage you to be looking for how God will have you to be serving in ministry. You are called to the ministry within the church, and
He has led you.
Yes, you have been led. So we want to exhort you not to wait for a sense of an inner calling before you, but begin serving. Look for how God is using you. Ask others how you've been a blessing to them, mm-hmm. and then pour yourself into serving in those ways for the glory of God. And with that,
Amen.
We're going to wrap it up. Take it away, David Neighbor.
Thank you for listening. We have a new podcast each week, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes. For more information about Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri, visit us online at pineyridgechurch.org. That's P-E-I-N-E, ridgechurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Piney Ridge. That's all for today. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.